"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
All right, brand new on the KFI webpage for John and Ken is our voter guide for the November 8th election. We will guide you in terms of the statewide ballot measures, some of the statewide offices that are up for grabs, and a couple of other local races if you want to go look. It's been there since Friday, and the ballots are going to go out next week, I believe it is, isn't it? The mail-in ballots. KFIAM640.com, the John and Ken page. The John and Ken voter guide is there. And you check back, you know, because you don't have your ballot yet anyway. We do add things that we become aware of thanks to listeners or just something in the news or something we realize we overlooked. I think the one that happened on Friday was that stupid tax that they're going to try to assess on property sales in the city of L.A. for, guess what, homeless funding. Right.
Anything that funds the homeless industrial complex, you say no to.
It's a no.
They're all stealing money. Right. They're all criminal enterprises, all right?
Yep.
Stop giving money to the government for homeless housing.
We had a report just before the 3 o'clock hour that the 6th Street Bridge was shut down, trying to investigate suspicious devices on the bridge and below the railway. That had been out of the news for a while.
Oh, the new one?
That's the new one in downtown LA, the 6th
Street
Bridge.
Somebody wants to blow it up?
Well, no, I think...
Well, suspicious devices.
Somebody could have driven by and seen something, and they could have been out of their minds, but I guess...
Right.
It alerted the police who were going to go there on the scene and take a look at...
Have they stopped all that crazy driving?
They have not closed the bridge down, to my knowledge, so that would make the news. They were doing that, how many times in the first week? That was right after Independence Day all that started, so we're 3 months later.
Those criminals got bored and went on somewhere else?
I think that's exactly what happened. It was another faddish trend to go there and make a video. And I think that finally it passed.
What a plague.
To the next thing that
isn't
people want to get obsessed with.
Isn't that like a societal plague? People doing stupid things to make a video online.
It was the 6th Street Challenge, and everybody took it up in order to make the wildest video they could on the bridge or do something really crazy. All right, that faded away. All right, so we were talking last hour about the welcome L.A. County and Riverside County to the highest gas prices ever in your history, passing $6.46 a gallon on average. This next story is about the next attempt to come after you and your car. It's a story that was done in Yahoo News. America's addiction to parking lots is bad for the climate, and California wants to end it.
Now, you could tell.
Were you aware you were addicted to parking lots?
Well, am I supposed to let my car just keep rolling into the storefront window?
Don't go anywhere.
Like if I go to the
That's always the message here. Don't go.
By the way, this is not a news story. This is displayed as a news story. There's no such thing as our addiction to parking lots. There's no biological process that causes us to desire parking lots. The car has to stop somewhere before we go in and buy things.
Remember that, what was that, UCLA professor was always obsessed with parking.
Shoop.
Yeah, shoop.
Yeah, he's full of shoop. No, this is one of the all-time stupidest articles about the most idiotic policy and concept you'll ever find. It's just stunning, the idiocy. I mean, in California, what do we have, like 30 million cars?
Probably.
Where are you going to put them when we take all of them shopping? There's no other response here. There's no other choice. You have to stop the car and you have to go in and buy your food or your clothing, whatever, and then you have to come out and leave. What are they talking about? We're going to hire mules to carry our groceries home? Carry about
it was
our
all
back?
About parking minimums. For the better part of a century, in a bid to make driving easier, almost every town in the country forced developers to build a minimum number of parking spaces at almost every kind of building, from apartment blocks to whatever that word is. Plenty of experts say those requirements have gobbled up precious urban land. Much as 5.5% of it nationwide by some estimates.
What is precious?
And it's incentivized car ownership and limited enthusiasm for public transit.
What is? No. Oh, my God. There's so much wrong with that sentence. There is no such thing as precious urban land. What does that mean? We have enormous amounts of empty spaces in America.
Well, urban land are the cities.
Right. Well,
right now, housing is so expensive, they think it should be
used
for...
Because there's too many people
instead
here.
Instead of making parking garages, let's make homes.
No, there's too many people here. It means we're at capacity.
I know, but we don't... Well, we
so
could,
what?
Under your leadership, restrict where people go. But people can go and live wherever they want. So they're here.
Okay, but you'll have to pay the price. Why do we have to make everything affordable for everybody? Why is that necessary? If you find it too expensive, go to another state and another city and go live there. This is too rich for you.
So here's what Newsom signed. A bill that will no longer impose parking minimums for housing, retail, or commercial developments that sit within a half mile. Here it is. Major public transit stops. Would that bus stop, John, down the street from your house be considered a major public
transit
stop?
They did when they were going to come up with that congestion pricing. Remember, to drive in and out of my neighborhood was going to cost me like $4
every day.
Oh,
yeah,
whatever
happened to that idea?
I don't know. Well, I think the communists left running that organization.
SCAG?
Yeah. That was a Southern California
Association. Oh, it was? Okay.
Association of Government.
For some reason, I thought that was a Garcetti thing.
No, I'm sure he supported it, but that was driven by Hassan Ikrata. And I think after he took his communism to San Diego, I haven't heard any more about congestion pricing. Maybe it's still around. I mean, every communist idea is still on paper somewhere in the bowels of city government and in county government. It's always at the ready. But they just haven't pushed... for any of this stuff.
So in theory, Newsom says, this will encourage developers to build more affordable homes for people who don't want parking. Really? And generate more walkable neighborhoods and public transit.
Okay.
It's a win-win.
No, it's a lose-lose. Because if you set up an apartment complex and you don't have parking, then people aren't going to rent out of that.
I wouldn't. No,
I wouldn't either.
That's one of the first questions you ask when you're looking for a place to live, especially a rental, is where am I going to park my car? I don't have garage parking. I got to go on the street. What does that look like?
Yeah.
Because that's a pain in the neck.
No, that's absolutely top tier issue for every normal person.
You're going to turn around and go, this is getting too hard. I guess I'll get rid of my car.
See, that's the thing. They could pass all their wacky ideas. In reality, nobody's going to follow it. Developers just won't build. I'm not going to a retail center that doesn't have parking spaces. If they don't have parking spaces, I'll go where there are parking spaces. Period. I just won't shop there. I mean,
they're making it sound in this story like developers like this idea because it doesn't cost them to build the parking. They can build as much or as little as they want now.
Well, they're not going to get. They're not going to rent out their storefronts and their apartments. I mean, right now, there are massive amounts of empty storefronts. So you're going to add more storefronts, except these wouldn't have parking. So if you're a business, which storefront are you going to rent? The one with the parking lot or the one without the parking lot? You want your customers to have a place to park. Otherwise, you don't have customers. None of this works. You just have to talk this out loud for about 15 seconds. It's like, wow, that's a really stupid idea that'll never work.
They claim that nearly 60% of car trips in the country were less than 6 miles.
Here we go.
That doesn't explain all the freeway traffic. People aren't going less than 6 miles.
That's a fake statistic. Have you tried to walk 6 miles? You know how long it takes to walk 6 miles? About 2 hours. So, yes, you take a car because you don't have 2 hours to walk there and then another 2 hours to walk back.
Yeah, you're right. It would make more sense if it was 1 mile, right?
Yeah. If I have a doctor's appointment and my doctor's 6 miles away, am I going to spend 4 hours walking there and back?
You take the bus.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the bus. Right.
Take your bicycle.
With the homeless person dying on the floor. Oh, here he is. Look at this. This guy showed up. You called it. Donald Shoup, an urban planning professor at UCLA, whose three decades of research into parking fueled a movement.
He's a grouch.
Yeah, no, he's... he goes, like the Dutch have reclaimed land from the sea, we can reclaim land from parking. What a bozo. No, we like using land for parking. It makes life easier.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
And he's making a living on our tax money.
Well, continuing our conversations about the war on your car, particularly your gas-powered car here in California. Gas prices last hour, this hour, trying to take away all the parking.
Oh, I have a question. I have another thing about the parking. If they turn California into their electric car paradise, those electric cars are going to need parking spaces too. So makes no sense. No one's ever going to take buses and trains in Los Angeles. And the government here is not trying to make that an attractive option. They're not even trying. Or they wouldn't be filled with insane homeless people urinating and defecating inside the trains and buses. So they're not serious about this. It's just manipulation to cost us money.
Which they get, or how does that work?
Well, the whole system, going back to the gas stuff, it drives up prices. The price of cars, electric cars, is like in the 60s and 70s. And then they're gonna give us incentives, tax break incentives, to buy these electric cars that are in the 60s and 70s. And then and then what did Ford and GM do the other day? They raised the price of their electric car equal to the price of the increased federal subsidy.
Well, they don't want you driving any car. They would prefer that you walk, bicycle, or use mass transit.
But you would create...
So eventually, that's the second half of the war. Get rid of the gas-powered car first, but the electric car, they'd like you to stop doing that, too.
But then why not make the subways and the trains plentiful, reliable, and clean? Instead, there are very few of them. They don't take you anywhere, and they're filled with lunatics. So they're not serious. None of these. You think Eric Garcetti gets on a bus?
Well, what's the place that has plentiful subways? New York City. And right now, nobody wants to get on those trains because they're getting killed.
Because they're not serious about taking care of the government. About
they
taking
got homeless
care of the
riding
city.
Up and down the subways.
What they're serious about is insane taxes. That's what they're serious about. We're taxed in every possible way, excessively. And that's their business, is to raise money for themselves. It's not to raise money to make our lives better. They don't even think about that anymore.
Well, the next phase of this, of course, we've talked about plenty of times, is to get you out of your gas-powered car by not letting you buy any new ones beginning in the year 2035. The state wants to move to people eventually when they buy a new car. It would have to be an electric car. The president of Toyota Motor Corporation had something to say about that, and I like the way he put this. His name is Akio Toyoda, T-O-Y-O-D-A, and he does come from the same line of people that the company, Toyota Motor Corporation, is named after. He said through translators They were asking about California's new mandates. But just like the fully autonomous cars that we're all supposed to be driving by now, electric vehicles are just going to take longer to become mainstream than the media would like us to believe. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a good point because there's this constant belief that, because climate change is a bigger risk than ever. Look at the storms. Look at the weather. We've got to get those electric cars in every home by, it sounds like next week, the way they report it. Next month, next year.
Well, yeah. Because they're not printing truth. They're not printing fact. They're printing propaganda for a political movement. And in order to manipulate people, you have to give them a sense that this is immediate. This is going to happen now, right? That's how you motivate people to do what you want. Oh, these changes are happening now. You have to get with the program. You have to do what we tell you, what everybody else is doing. They're trying to influence the way we live and the way we think, and you have to do that with constant, urgent repetition of, well, this is the way the world is now. So you're going to have to do this. You have to get along with the program and do this now. And the guy from Toyota is looking at this and saying, well, this isn't going to work, but hey, we sell cars around the world. We'll make some electric cars, sell them in California, see if anything sticks there. But they got 49 other states and dozens of other countries to sell Toyotas. If California has some kind of implosion here, then it's really not going to make a difference in their life.
New York, by the way, is also going after the same plan as California to finalize rules that phases out gasoline-only new car sales by 2035.
It's not going to work there either.
Probably not. No, they have better mass transit than we do.
And by the way, people are just going to hold on to their gas-powered cars forever. I certainly would. I'll drive my car 20 years. I'm not buying a government-mandated electric car. They don't have. There's no charging stations. There's no bleed.
They must be doing something because I think a Moistline caller pointed this out Friday. What's going to prevent people in the year 2035 from going to Arizona and buying a new gas-powered car?
Nothing.
Coming back here. Well, I wonder if they must. They might block the registration. Is that what they were going to do?
What's going to happen is you're going to create a situation that you cannot enforce. You can make all the pronouncements you want, but if the public ignores you, which is what the public ought to do. If we didn't have people, you know, comatose in this state, is you ignore this stuff. It's like, I'm not playing. It's like, you know what? I find the carpool lane to be one of the stupidest ideas in history. I just drive in the carpool lane all the time. They don't enforce the law. They don't have the manpower to find me and nap me.
Now,
simple rebellion.
This Toyota executive also pointed out that, there's really a lack of easy access to electricity by nearly a billion people around the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's not sure that there is the grid to support this idea that just about everybody will drive electric.
No, they won't. No, that's true. Do you know it's at least 800 million people have no access to electricity. 800 million, mostly in Africa, some in Asia.
Well, they're probably not driving a lot of cars either, though.
No, they're not driving cars either. But, I mean, they're so – if you have extra money – in the world, it could be spent on the 800 million people who don't even have an electrical outlet to plug into. They don't even have an electrical appliance to plug into the outlet, right? But you're spending it on creating an electric car. There's no need for an electric car. Gas-powered cars work great. We have a huge supply of gas and oil. There's no shortage anytime soon. What they did is created this climate frenzy, this climate insanity that, again, most countries are not paying attention to. And the ones that decided to, like Germany, like California, have hit a wall.
Yeah.
And now are having massive energy shortages.
All right. We got more coming up as the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. All right. Coming up after 4 o'clock, we will talk about the LA Unified School District data hack. The school district, of course, announced it was not going to pay any money to the hackers, so they started releasing data even early. We'll give you the latest on that story. And we'll talk about the race for L.A. mayor. A new poll is out. Also, a new poll on the race for L.A. County Sheriff. This is all coming up.
Oh, I thought that poll was really screwy, the one for mayor.
Okay.
I thought that was one of the screwiest polls I've ever seen in my life, and I'll explain why.
I can't wait.
And put a pin in it, because it may mean something about the outcome on Election Day.
A pin?
Yes, a little pin. It's like, make a note that we have to return to that poll. Because I noticed something about it which made no sense, and it may just be a bad poll, but or it means something something different is going to happen.
All right. We have, and this is not uncommon, another lawsuit concerning a sexual abuse allegation. This is occurring in a school, Colton High School. The difference this time that makes this story really unusual, it is a group of six former Colton High School football players who say that they were sexually abused by the former athletic trainer, and it's a woman.
Mm.
Yep. The men, referred to as John Doe's in the lawsuit, alleged that during the 2000s, when they were varsity football players, they were sexually abused by the school's athletic trainer, a woman by the name of Tiffany Gordon. She is the daughter of the school's former head coach and athletic director, Harold Strauss, who actually died in 2019. She began working for the district around 2001, and most recently was athletic director at something called Grand Terrace High School. Says that they allege that other members of the team, the players' parents and the staff all knew what this woman was doing.
I was going to say, because
between 2002 and 2006.
She was so active with a lot of kids, a lot of sex acts, that this must have, everybody in the school must have known.
Must have been the talk of the place.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly.
You couldn't get that many kids to keep these kind of secrets.
Because these are 14, 15, 16, and perhaps 17-year-old males,
Well,
I guess this was exciting.
Well, this is 6 years, and ages 14 to 17, she had sexual intercourse and oral sex in the student in the school locker room, the training room, the bathrooms, the weight room, the football trailer, at her parents' house, during weekly meetings between the coaches and top players. In fact, one player said Gordon had sex with him at least 50 times his senior year. 50 times.
Well, does that come into the category of sexual abuse if you're...
When you go back...
50 times. I mean, not like it's an 8-year-old, because that's the problem with the priests,
right,
and the way they intimidate the little children.
You're 17, and you have one of those experiences, and then you come back for 49 more? Stop. You have been abused. There isn't a 17-year-old in the world who wouldn't come back for more.
Now, some describe this, the father that died, he was the legendary head coach Harold Strauss, as the pipeline to the NFL, which might explain, too, why you don't rock that boat.
Well, he was.
If his daughter is doing sexual favors for you, and...
I bet you, did he think this is the way to keep players...
loose.
Happy and primed and loose and ready to go.
The players had a name for this.
I bet they did.
Spatting, which we think might be short for special treatment.
Who knows?
Standout players got special treatment of a sexual nature from this woman.
Uh-huh.
She even asked one guy, are you ready to be a superstar? Massaged his leg and then proceeded to fondle him. He was 16 at the time.
Yeah, you know, we're going to go through all the staged hypocrisy where it says, Brian Williams, an attorney, says, while at school, students are entitled to feel safe and must be protected. Yeah, you got to be protected from a woman who wants to have sex with you. These are large young men.
Yeah,
17 years old.
Athletes are particularly horny.
Yeah, have you seen the size of football players? They're generally over 6 feet and 200 pounds.
Oh, the term spatted refers to the practice of taping a player's ankle over his shoes for support or style. But it took on a different meaning at Colton High School, where it meant getting sexual favors from this woman.
You know,
Tiffany
I used to be a trainer in high school. I used to do that stuff.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, for the football team. I used to tape their ankles and...
Oh.
I never did this. Nobody asked.
Nobody asked you for special treatment.
No, I was there. I never did any spatting or whatever they were calling this.
It says here, teammates who were envious joked about Gordon and the other players. 20 years ago, we still continue to fail to see the harm in a female authority figure allegedly providing standout players sexual favors. This is according to some of the former players.
Well, I mean, can you explain the harm here? Because the guys are spending all their time trying to have sex with all the other girls in the school, right?
Yeah.
So here they've got, I found one picture of her online. She's fairly attractive. So here they have somebody who's willing, and their coach clearly must know what's going on.
So, oh, they said he did, yes.
Because if you said, hey, no thanks, I don't need that, I don't think she was gonna chase you down the road because she had many other willing participants.
They're saying that this guy basically ran the school, Colton High School, this father, Harold Strauss. He was only 60 when he died in 2019, but he coached high school football in Oregon and Washington.
Yeah.
Then returned out there and eventually got the job at this school.
I'm looking at these claims and I'm wondering, could this be? So one of the players who got all this extra sex with the trainer said he was so distrusting of authority figures in secluded settings that he never once visited a professor in college during office hours. That does that seem like a real thing?
And
you know, sex is much more rampant in high school among students now than it was years ago. So I this idea that they're all terribly scandalized, it's just not it's striking me as authentic.
The experts in this story, like a sex therapist said, it still comes down to authority. It's like a teacher or a priest.
A trainer?
She was no different, right? A
trainer's not an authority.
But her father was. So you don't want to rock the boat because the father
sex
was like a god bear.
So they were having sex with the trainer because they didn't want to upset her dad.
Yeah, maybe it's what she wanted.
This doesn't sound...
She liked the idea of getting it on with 16-year-old boys and... You don't rock that boat because dad's powerful.
I remember some teachers when I was 16, and if I had an offer, that would have been a good day.
Boy, it looks a lot like massage parlors. It seems like a lot of these guys claim it started with massages and then moved to either oral sex or intercourse or...
Remind you of anyone current? Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, right. Is that how we got started, maybe?
All of the accusers are massage therapists.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I guess, maybe there's an expectation. If he got that treatment in school, he'd end up with an expectation. I don't know.
Yeah, but it sounds like she initiated, I think with Deshaun Watson, the claim of the women is that he was aggressive in getting them to do those favors.
Yeah.
Sounds like this woman was the one that really went on her own just trying to...
You don't think dad was like encouraging her? Well, maybe he was.
To get good players, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, maybe as you were joking before, but maybe he thought this was good to get them...
some football...
Get morale up and to get them...
Some football coaches really are crazy. They really are, like, out of their minds.
It says the alleged abuse was normal. This is in the lawsuit. Even lauded because of the coach's minimization of the assaults. They said that it significantly affected and shaped the students' perceptions of intimacy, relationships, and responsibilities at a young and impressionable age. Yeah,
but that's a lawyer talking.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, is this just a money grab from the school? This just doesn't strike me right. This doesn't strike me as an authentic reaction to the way boys react to these situations. First of all, if you're really offended by it, you just wouldn't do it. And when you get to be like 16, 17 years old, come on. Most 16, 17-year-olds are having some kind of sexual something in their lives. So this is just not, the whole thing just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I remember because I did a lot of scorekeeping, training, managing all the high school teams when I was in school and covering them because I did sports writing. And so I saw the coaches like up close and personal a lot. And some of them were classroom teachers, and they had one personality in the classroom. And then when they're on the sidelines, they were completely berserk. They were like psychotic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one guy would be, you'd be throwing chairs. He'd be getting so angry. I remember one time he stalked down the sideline and stepped on a bag of basketballs, and it was almost like a cartoon. He was skidding on the basketballs, trying to get control of himself because he couldn't walk on them. And, yeah, no, they would yell and they would scream and they'd call the players all kinds of nutty names, and this was like a daily thing. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that just isn't publicized.
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes. It's the Johnny Kent Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. Trump has just sued CNN for $475
million. $475
million. That's right. They're trying to taint the plaintiff with a series of ever more scandalous fake and defamatory labels. Things like racist, Russian lackey, insurrectionist, and ultimately Hitler, according to the news. Defamation, right. The lawsuit lists several instances in which CNN appeared to compare Trump to Hitler, including a January report by host Fareed Zakaria that included footage of the German dictator. It was a juxtaposition with Trump, I guess. I don't know why I didn't see it.
Well, it may not be news, but it's protected opinion. I mean, you're...
Yeah,
First Amendment rights. You could say, hey, this Trump reminds me of Hitler. You remember Hitler? Look at him right here.
He uses lawsuits as some kind of weapon. He's always suing everybody. Yeah, I don't know. I thought he already sued CNN a couple of years
ago. You know, he should be talking about all the overwhelming problems that people are facing in their daily lives. And he's not doing it. It's what he did in 2016. He's not doing it now.
And there's so much to talk about with inflation.
Oh, my God. And so much of it is because Biden reversed or overrode Trump's plans, Trump's policies. And it's
the border is worse than ever.
Right, right. It's like, hey, this is what I did. You remember? Look what he did. He reversed my policies. He canceled them.
And when he decides to run, he's going to do that. But I don't think he's quite sure yet. So he's just doing this for...
I can't take anything more about the stolen election. He's just got to stop this stuff. He's just going to die if he keeps pushing that.
Oh, people tell me his rallies aren't about the stolen election anymore.
No, they're not?
No, not really. No. I haven't watched them, but I see news stories. He rants about just other politicians still calling them names and stuff, but I don't think he's still ranting as much about the stolen election.
I wonder if any other Republican's going to have the guts to take him on.
I think DeSantis will. I think that's become clear. It's like Newsom. He's positioning himself for this.
Yeah.
He gets out in front on a lot of issues, especially sending those migrants to...
Oh, I think Martha's he definitely Vineyard. Wants to be president. But I want to see if they're really going to take Trump on and then run a fiery campaign against him. That's going to be exciting.
Who didn't laugh today when we heard Kim Kardashian had to turn over $1 million to settle SEC charges? It's an odd story. It's all about her promoting cryptocurrency on her Instagram. Well, she apparently failed to disclose a payment she received for doing that.
It was a pump and dump campaign.
Pump and dump?
Pump and dump. They do this with stocks all the time. You go on TV or you go online and you pump up, you do a rah-rah speech. Hey, this stock is great. This cryptocurrency is great. I just bought some. You should buy some too. And then your audience, your followers, they go and buy it. And it's not really worth anything, right? But the hype carries the price up. Then you sell. And then eventually the thing crashes. You pumped it up. You dumped your investment. Everybody else will take a hit. That's what she was doing.
Oh, the idea, right, to get people to buy. Well, mm-hmm. She's already owning and then she could sell.
Right.
Say she owned the stock, or I didn't see that?
If you have a public, they'll probably never prove whether she owned it or not, but that's why you do it.
I believe she was gifted it.
Oh, there you go. Oh. She was gifted it.
It's like she was given it. She goes and promotes it, and then she sells it off when it dumps.
Right. So what you do is you manipulate your following, right? I mean, can you imagine the people who follow Kim Kardashian and take financial advice from her? Imagine the IQ, average IQ of that crowd.
Well, she's worth $2 billion, so people probably think that she knows something about making money.
I know people think that, but imagine exactly my point. People with room temperature IQs will follow Kim Kardashian cryptocurrency investment advice.
That's why so many people are trying to be big stars on social media. They're just following like the Kardashian lead from, has it been 20 years already or 15 years since they started all this nonsense?
That's a good way. That's a good career path in life.
She neither admitted to nor denied the regulator's findings, but did agree to pay $1.26 million to settle the charges.
I love the admit no wrongdoing settlements.
Aretheum Max is crypto asset. Aretheum.
Yeah, there was some...
That's the name of the company.
Yeah. Yeah,
that thing is faded now, hasn't it? Remember all celebrities? I think the Super Bowl had a bunch of ads. People pushing cryptocurrencies. That's all dead now, isn't it?
I haven't
looked at the cryptocurrency market in a while. Last time you and I talked about it, it was really tanking.
It collapsed. Bitcoin fell by about 60% and is still staying there. They've got a lot of hardcore followers. This is another version of the cult. They believe that eventually someday cryptocurrency will be the way of life in the world. It's never going to happen. It's not useful. It's a complete... that you talk about a hoax. The whole cryptocurrency world is a hoax. I saw today, remember those stupid NFTs that were all the rage
right.
a year or so ago? That trading on NFTs have dropped, get this, 99%.
I didn't even understand. Non-fungible.
Yes. Little artworks on your cell phone, but you have the only copy of them.
I get them now for attending games. Here's your NFT for being at the Rams home opener. Yeah, like, right. Okay, thanks.
Yeah,
That's nice.
It's not even worth a penny. It's just random pixels.
So there was a suit by investors of Aretheum Max against her, former NBA star Paul Pierce and superstar boxer Floyd Mayweather, accusing them, of artificially inflating the value of the asset. But she got in trouble just for failing to report that she was paid $250,000 by this company.
Right. Well, that's
through an intermediary to publish a post.
That's the backdoor way you get at people is you get them for that type of crime because that's easily provable. She didn't report it, right? So they can find that easily. Huh. Trying to prove that it really was a coordinated pump and dump thing among these various celebrities is harder to prove. So you go for something that you can get a handle on. But that's what they were doing.
Damn it. No jail, no prison.
Kim Kardashian in a prison. I don't know. Those people, you deserve to lose money. You follow what Kim Kardashian's telling you, you should lose your house.
All right. We got more coming up. We'll be talking about the hack of the LA Unified School District database. We're talking about the latest polls and some of the races. More coming up. KFI AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live, the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.